I think that Britain's youth are a bit disappointing. And why do I say that? Well, things like this. Britain was founded on racism, say almost half of young people in poll. And
I mean, racism against Celts, perhaps, but that's a racism I can get behind.
Oi.
Filthy Scot.
So the report itself that they're on about here had some very interesting findings. So if we move on to the next link, this is from the Policy Exchange, and it's titled The Political Culture of Young Britain.
By Eric Kaufman, who's quite a controversial figure.
He is indeed.
I own his book White Shift, which I need to give a read, and I know that's all about demographic shifting, so it should be very interesting.
Yeah, but this study I find very interesting because it's looking at what's being taught to kids, what their beliefs are, and it's not looking good. I mean, I don't know about how political and moral messaging was taught to you when you were younger, but I know that pretty much if a teacher or an adult told me to do it, I would do the opposite out of spite because I didn't recognise their authority. But then I was always a bit of a contrarian.
And you still are?
Yes. That's my main belief.
No, see, I think you've just disproved yourself because if you were, you'd have said no when I said that. You're a contrarian. No, I'm not.
But that's what you wanted me to say.
Oh, okay, I see. You were playing the double bluff.
Mm.
No, like many others, and I'm sure like you as well, from a very young age, I was hammered into my head what I like to refer to, and many others do, as boomer truth.
Oh, yes,
which is,
of course.
Which, when you start to look into it, has quite a few cracks in the narrative.
Mm.
But when you're within that paradigm, that's just normal to you. You don't recognise that your beliefs are political purely because that's just what you think is normal.
Well, you don't really have an understanding of politics per se until you get a bit older. When you're, say, a teenager, it makes sense that you're not especially political because you've got other things on your mind.
But then what we see is these kids being political nowadays because that's what they've been taught from a very young age is now what they just consider normal. They think that just announcing your pronouns to one another is not political behaviour. They just think that's what normal people do.
It certainly isn't. So one of the, I'm going to read a series of the facts that I thought were most interesting. I've omitted some, so go and check them out from the research summary brief. So it reads as follows. A majority, 59% of British school leavers say they have either been taught or heard from an adult at school about at least one of white privilege, unconscious bias and systematic racism, three concepts associated with applied critical race theory, CRT. This rises to 73% if we include critical social justice, or CSJ, approaches to gender, notably the idea of patriarchy, or that there are many genders. So that's a significant number of young people exposed to these ideas. Obviously, if they're being brainwashed by the adults, it's not entirely the young people's fault. However, you're still capable of critical thinking when you're a teenager.
They're becoming the foot soldiers for the movement in the same way that so many people have been for Boomer Truth and other such things in the past.
Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of young people taught CSJ concepts say they were not told that there are any respectable counter-arguments to these ideas. This suggests that several million children may have been taught these radical left ideas as truth. 46% of white and Asian young people exposed to all five CSJ concepts in school say they would have not have felt comfortable criticising a black schoolmate, compared to 30% of white and Asian individuals exposed to no CSJ concepts, a significant negative side effect. And that isn't just criticising them in a political sense, just criticizing them at all. If you have any criticism of a fellow black child as a young
whether
person,
whether warranted or not,
then they would 46% of the people who've been taught these social justice things would just say nothing.
And this is like
stop stealing my lunch money.
This is a formalization of low and negative standards that somebody like Thomas Sowell has been complaining about for decades at this point. He says that ever since civil rights, all of a sudden it became the thing for black students. If they saw another black student who was trying hard, doing his homework, behaved himself, you're acting white. So they have got these two separate standards for black kids and white kids, and this is what these kids are being taught is just normal, it's fine.
It's almost like judging people based on who they are as a person is more important than the colour of their skin.
I know, shocking.
No. Who'd have thought? So, 40% of those exposed to all five CSJ concepts in school say they felt fearful of being shamed, punished, or expelled for voicing their opinions on controversial subjects, compared to 17% of individuals exposed to no CSJ concepts, and a significant negative effect. And that is very significant, 40% to 17%. Well, isn't that kind of striking the fear of authority in them, that if you have the wrong opinions, we're going to kick you out of school and it's going to ruin your life?
Mm.
I think that's quite a reasonable expectation as well, because that might actually happen to them.
Yeah.
Leave supporters and Conservatives are around twice as likely as Remain supporting or left-wing respondents to say they feared being shamed, punished, or expelled for voicing their opinions on controversial subjects in school. So twice as likely if you supported leaving the
Well, that's because you know that you're surrounded by people who, because of those opinions you hold, literally think you're subhuman.
Mm-hmm. Just 34% of Remain-supporting young people would be comfortable dating a Leaver, while 66% of Leavers would comfortably date a Remainer. So who are the real bigots here, then? Because apparently 34% of Remainers, I mean, that's... If you're a young person, who I imagine is probably more fixated on this sort of thing than us older people, that concept of only 34% of Remain supporters willingly dating you.
Now, to that 66% of Leavers, I will just use an old classic adage, which is don't stick it in crazy.
That is good advice, to be fair. Young minorities are significantly less left-wing, politically correct, and polarised than young whites, suggesting that they are less affected by the dominant youth culture. Which is the ultimate
the
irony,
minorities.
Isn't it?
Minorities.
This is the perhaps the most concerning of all. One in four young people identifies as LGBT.
Perfectly natural.
One in four.
This is just the way it always was. The only reason that people in the 50s didn't do the same is because of the horrible, oppressive culture that they were living mm-hmm. under.
I mean, this, if that figure is to be believed, then that's like population collapse level of non-engagement in reproduction.
Well, there you go. I mean, a lot of these people... I heard it... I think I was listening to a podcast, maybe talking to Orrin McIntyre or somebody like that, where they were, whoever it was talking about how Pride Month is basically a celebration of people with no future.
That's a very harrowing interpretation.
It's true, though. Mm. If these people are gay, then they're not going to be reproducing, so they have no they have no grounding in the society or the well-being of the society for the future, because they have no incentive or responsibility to be. And if you're talking about the trans, especially if they've gone far with the surgery already, there's literally no physical way they could reproduce anymore anyway.
No, absolutely. So it carries on to say, 46% of LGBT young people say they are sad or anxious most of the time, compared to 28% of heterosexual respondents. So it's not even doing them any good either. I mean, you're meant to... It's meant to be the most accepting generation. So surely it's not because of bigotry, because it's so prevalent and people are so scared of talking about it, that you can kind of take this figure at face value and say it's related to the fact that they're LGBT.
I've met plenty of people who fit that descriptor, but I would say it's actually the correlation is the other way around. The fact that they're sad or anxious most of the time, they feel very outcast from society, just naturally, whether or not it actually reflects their experience.
There's no doubt the state of being. Of bi-directional relationship.
Well, yeah, I see it more like the sad or anxious people are more likely to accept the indoctrination, because it gives them a sense of belonging.
Identity.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. 43% of young women are sad or anxious most of the time, compared to 25% of young men.
Just that natural testosterone.
Those numbers are still too high, though.
That is true. A quarter of all men, no.
Mm-hmm. Nearly half of all young women.
No, so it's not a good place to be in.
Mm-hmm. So yes, cheer up and stop being anxious.
And that's from a psychologist, so that's advice you can trust.
Mm-hmm. It's not. obviously... I have sympathy for this, and it's not an easy thing to overcome, particularly if you're young, but it will get better. You just need to work at yourself, and will improve.
You need to start engaging in the behaviours that you know are good for you, but you've been putting off, and don't say that you don't do this, because I've done this plenty of times before. You need to start to engage in a virtuous cycle where the behaviours that you take in, the habits that you create for yourself, become who you are. If Absolutely. You're engaging in habits that you know are bad for you and are negative, then that will be who you are, and that's why you feel bad all the time. It won't fix all of your problems, but it's a fantastic start to get yourself out of those cycles.
Absolutely. That's very good advice. So it carries on. I've got a few more points before I move on. Those who plan to attend university are as left-wing and supportive of political correctness as those attending, suggesting that schools, social networks, media and psychology rather than university content is the main transition belt for cultural left attitudes, which I thought was very interesting because I've always assumed that universities are the thing which convert people. And it is where I came across my sort of first examples of crazy progressives in the wild is university, although there weren't that many of them. To be fair, I did go to some based universities where it wasn't very leftist at all.
Well, you said you came out of your course more based than you went in. So
I went in a left winger and came out a right winger. I'm just that much of a contrarian.
You're such an exception, I swear.
I just make no sense. So young people who work are somewhat more right-leaning than those who do not. I mean, I'm not surprised.
What a shock.
But are not more conservative on cultural issues. Probably that they're paying tax, isn't it? They've realised that being taxed is bad.
It really sucks. Yeah,
doesn't get better. That only gets worse as you get older.
Especially with the bloody government we've got right now.
Social media and peers accounts for the lion's share of how young people come into contact with CRT. Schools are less important, but appear to heighten people's threat perceptions. So that's very interesting that actually it's the youth amongst themselves brainwashing each other rather than it necessarily being schools, but they heighten their threat perceptions of it, I can certainly believe.
Yeah, the schools actively make the children more anxious now.
Yes. Rather than the opposite, which you would think would be what they should be doing. So moving on, this has been picked up by outlets like the Daily Mail. Like, almost half of young people in Britain are too frightened to dispute the idea of white privilege, and some even fear being expelled from school. So yes, it's good to see some mainstream coverage of this and people actually trying to push back against it. So that's promising. But it's also worthwhile mentioning that this hasn't really covered the lion's share of it, but someone who has is you.
Yes.
So tell us about this premium podcast that you did titled What Exactly Are Leftists Teaching Our Kids?
Well, I think it's enough to just look at the thumbnail and look at this phenomenal gentleman here. And yes, his voice sounds exactly the way that you think it does. This is something that's shown. It was taken from a school curriculum, K-5 in Seattle Public Schools. So this was a curriculum that was being applied across every single one of them, whether this gentleman was sat in what appeared to be the basement from Silence of the Lambs, and he was reading children's books for kindergartners, for toddlers, for very young children who don't know any better. And, you know, their minds are like, you can mold children's minds at that age to believe basically whatever you want. Reading books talking about I forget the name of the child in the story, but my teddy bear is a boy but wants to be a girl, so I think the nice thing to do is to just let it be a girl. Here's another story about a real life child whose name I've forgotten, who was transitioned at like 7 years old or something, with the full support of the parents, who definitely had no financial incentive. There just happened to be a documentary made about it afterwards, and the child has become a young star. And the thing I also noticed about it was that a lot of it, every single story was young boys transitioning to be girls, because I don't know if it's intentional or not, but I think there's a recognition that girls are much more naturally likely to be susceptible to this in the first place, because rapid onset gender dysphoria is a something that's been studied by Dr. Lisa Littman. She got cancelled for it, but it's very much true, where social groups of young girls, if one of them comes out as trans, all of the rest of them feeling a social pressure tend to come out as well. In fact, I think I looked at the statistics the other day. It was between 2015 and 2018 or some date range like that. It had gone up 4,400%. Now, these are still low numbers in the thousands, but the fact that the percentage change was so huge says it all. So girls are much more naturally susceptible to this, whereas boys, being a bit more rebellious, being more badly behaved, mm-hmm. have to really have it drilled into them from a very young age if you want to do that. And I do think there is an element of social and population control to this, because the more people who choose to opt out of lifestyles that encourage you to have children, the less population you have to worry about in the mm-hmm. future, especially if they actually go ahead with the surgery or start on puberty blockers from a young age, which is essentially the same as castrating them.
Absolutely.
So if you want to know more about that, check it out. I'd say this is one of the pieces of work I'm actually very happy with.
I also think that one of the problems that are facing young people that doesn't get talked about enough is things like this. This is an article from The Spectator titled, "The Tories are taking from the young to pay for the old," which is just very true, in that our very high taxes are just a tax on the youth to pay for older people, like, say, the lockdowns. I mean, that's also something that was disproportionately affecting the youth for the benefit of the old.
And that which was not just a financial tax either. That was a tax on your mental well-being, on your social connections. Everything was made worse.
It's like a total inversion of the phrase that societies grow great when the old plant trees whose shade they will never know. It's the complete opposite of that now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just tens of thousands of years of wisdom just down the pan, because, of course, in modernity, we know better, apparently. So if we move on to the next one, here we have another article which makes a good point that prepare for the overtaxed young to flee Britain for places where hard work is rewarded. So if we tax the young people too much, well, with not enough allegiance to this country in the first place, of course, with what they're taught that Britain is evil, well, why would they stay here? If it's evil, they're taxed into being poor. What incentive do they have to help this country in the first place?
It is a good point. I have seen some people say, oh, well, you know, Britain's GDP may be going down and these other places' GDP may be going up, but that's only because they're a tax haven. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so we should become a tax haven then. That's the message that I'm getting.
I have no moral objections to tax havens.
No.
So if we move on to Breitbart, this is perhaps the most depressing. UK voters now link high taxes with right-wing rather than left-wing poll finds. So
a poll taken in for a rude awakening, aren't they?
A poll taken by Redfield and Wilton Strategies for the Conservative Party adjacent Daily Telegraph newspaper found that of those asked, 42% said they were associated the Tories with high taxes, whilst only 17% associated them with Labour. Underlining the point, perhaps, the brief report in the Telegraph on the findings notes the research took place the days before this week's punishing Conservative budget, in which the party raised taxes yet again, taking them to a level not seen since the Second World War. Which is pretty horrifying, if you ask me.
Yes, and it's entirely the Tories' fault. They've done this to themselves. Mm-hmm. You've been in power for 12 years and you've just made everything worse.
So, moving on to this penultimate one. This is quite depressing. This is from 8 months ago. Happiness among UK young people has hit a 13-year low. And I'm really not surprised.
What a picture.
I know, that's not the most flattering.
I don't think this woman would look happy in any circumstance, to be honest.
She could be on a roller coaster and still have that sort of cold.
This was a photo taken on the roller coaster, don't you know?
But yes, it's not surprising that young people are miserable when they've been forcibly locked in their homes. They have no economic prospects. They're told that they're born in the wrong body, that they're racist, sexist, homophobic.
If you want to have children, then you're going to contribute to the destruction of the planet, which is more important than humanity.
I mean, in previous times, telling all of this to young people is kind of child abuse, isn't it? I mean,
psychologically, certainly. Yeah.
But not to end on a depressing note, I want to cheer everyone up. Mm. I don't want to contribute to more young people being depressed. So I found an article that's positive about young people. Here we have an article from the Mirror. Britain's most generous cities listed as young people shown to be the kindest. Well, that's nice, at least.
That's all right.
So it says, a new survey has revealed which Brits give most of their time to charity, with young people under 25 leading the way. The research by Oxfam revealed we are a generous nation, with more than 2 in 5, 42%, respondents reporting they have volunteered their time to charity in some way. Of this number, a quarter, 25%, have volunteered in a charity shop. The average amount of hours which people volunteered within top cities per year is Belfast at 216 hours, Edinburgh 285 hours, Glasgow with 279 hours, and Plymouth, yes, 288 hours.
Your neck of the woods.
Yes, I am the kindest. I grew up I grew up in Plymouth, that's why I'm particularly pleased. But I am surprised at Glasgow being up there as one of the kindest cities. I mean, they bring a smile to people's faces, but that is because they have razor gangs that carve into your mouth.
Well, I'm thinking maybe they're including hours served in community service.
I think this is voluntary charitable participation. Right. But yeah, it's pretty much all of the Celtic corners, isn't it? It's
yeah.
John says, I bet they have refugee welcome charities.
But who's bringing them the heroin?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting that it's Northern Ireland in Scotland and the southwest, which remained Celtic for quite some time before being converted by the Anglo-Saxons. So yeah, interesting trend. But yes, clearly young people are more willing to do altruistic things, which is nice. And I thought it would be good to end with something uplifting. So if you're young, don't be brainwashed by school. Think for yourself. Don't even take what I say at face value. Just try and apply some critical thinking to what you're being told by people. And don't be depressed. Go out and do stuff that makes you feel good about yourself.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium hangouts we do, this one on Carl's rant about Generation X versus Generation Z. If you'd like to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter @LotusEaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.